punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is going to be a long show. Hey, g'day to all you great students of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. I'm sorry, I got a full house in here. I got two beautiful young ladies, Miss Jill Metter and Jancy Ripito. They're my partners in crime today.
Why are you apologizing? This would be fun.
Well, you guys were burning up all the conversation before we came on the air. I never heard that much noise in my studio.
Well,
before.
We figured we were supposed to just talk about ag stuff on the show, so we were just making conversation while we were waiting.
All right. Well, let's check out the temporary or the current weather real quick. Lipscomb, nice temperature, 48 degrees. Canadian, you're 46. Wellington, you're 40. Still a little chilly down there at Odell at 34. And back here in Oklahoma, on the Oklahoma side, 46 at Slapout, 42 at Alva, 41 at Lahoma, 36 at Bessie. Must still be in some cloud cover there. 41 at Mangum. And it was a... I know you came down the same road I did, Jancy. She was a little slick.
It was a little slick this morning.
Yeah, to start school, what, 9, 10?
Yeah, we started school at, 9:10 this morning. Yeah. They pushed it back an hour.
Yeah, and then, we did the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I usually come down Merritt Road from checking that one set of cows, and I was like, oh, my God, here's all the school traffic, because I usually bypass it anyway. Yesterday during the show, they didn't think we were going to get anything, and then last night about dark 30, it started falling at my place down at West of Willow, and it got pretty icy, but it's all melted off now, so everything's good. But there was some, did you guys see any crazy drivers? Because I seen you weren't driving crazy.
I didn't, know.
No, I know you don't. And anyway, I wouldn't rat you out anyway.
Thank you.
Because your grandma and your grandpa, your mom, dad all listen. But no, I seen you. You were cool. I had people passing me. I was going 40, 50 mile an hour, and that was probably too fast. And they were passing me, so it was pretty crazy. So anyway, the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. We are live on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX. Live on Facebook. We're live on our website at kcofm.com. There's no reason. Oh, we're live on our Paragon app on the phone. There's no reason you can't miss this show. We ought to have a pretty good time today. First time I've had both of you in here at the same time. This ought to be fun.
Yo, yeah.
Anyway, so, well, let's get started. Let's see what happened last night. Soybeans were higher in overnight trading after a somewhat crazy report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture warning about Argentina from the size of the country's crop. Corn and wheat were modestly higher. Despite recent rainfall in the South American country, months of drought have negatively affected the soybeans and the corn. Recent rains will buy time for their second crop of soybeans. They do two crops a year down there. But better than average weather through February is needed for a major recovery. The USDA lowered its production estimate to 36 million metric tons. That's down 9.5 million tons from its estimate last month, and that's quite a bit. Drought conditions are also affecting the sunflower seed and peanut crops to a lesser extent. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 8.5 cents to $15.28 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $4 to $4.88.70 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.19 cents to $16.98 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery gained 0.75 cents to $6.81.75 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery in Chicago up 4.5 cents to $7.64, while Kansas City futures added 3.25 to $8.87.5 a bushel. You got the weather over there for the southern plains in the Midwest on that one sheet?
Oh, yeah.
This one? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Extreme cold expected north as ice storms persist south. doesn't that just sound super exciting?
Yeah, it sounds great.
It sounds absolutely great. Extremely cold weather is hitting the upper Midwest while storms continue to rage in the southern U.S., according to the National Weather Service. Wind chill warnings and advisories have been issued from northeastern Montana into northern Illinois. The northwest... Yeah, we love that.
I know.
The NWS said in a report earlier this morning, in northern North Dakota, that's a mouthful, wind chills are forecast to fall as low as negative 50 degrees. I am so glad I am not there right now.
I've worked up there. It's not no fun.
I think our wind chills here are bad enough. I can't imagine negative 50 degrees.
Yep.
The dangerously cold winds, chills could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 10 minutes, the agency said. In northern Iowa, values are expected to drop to negative 20 degrees to negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit this evening into tomorrow. Ice and winter storm warnings are in effect in parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Significant icing is forecast for much of North Texas, eastern Oklahoma, and much of Arkansas this morning. Power outages and downed trees have been reported with the ice storms that moved through central Texas yesterday. In central Arkansas, ice accumulations of up to a quarter inch are expected this morning.
All kinds of weather going on in there.
That's a lot. There's a lot going on.
We got a request on the text line for you.
Oh, boy.
Can you get Jill to say boomer sooner?
You couldn't pay me $1 million to say that.
Okay.
Go Pokes for life.
Somebody must know you, huh?
I probably do. Hey, I'm wearing my OSU today.
I've seen that, and I'm wearing my Angus hoodie. What you got going on? You're just dressed nicely.
A plain gray sweater.
Anyway, thanks for the, already got some happy birthdays, so thank you very much for all the birthday wishes that I've gotten so far. I'm pretty blessed to have all these friends, and Facebook's been lighting up, and you guys come in here and wish me a happy birthday, so.
We're not singing for you, though.
Nah, that's all right.
You don't want to hear that.
I guess I banned singing on the show about a year and a half ago when Lacey Swope was on here. And I sing happy birthday to her, and my ratings went way down. So, all right, let me check in here with what's update on our current grain and livestock prices. Corn for March is $6.76, May is $6.74, July is $6.63, and soybeans for March, $15.33. May is $15.27, up nicely today. I guess March is up over 13. And then July is $15.18. And then we got soybean meal is $4.90.50 a short ton, $4.74.80 for May. July is $4.62.90. Soybean oil, March $60.95. May is $61.16. And July is $61.08. Hard red winter wheat. $8.79, it's in the red today, off four already. May is $8.72, oats are down to $3.90 for March, $3.81 for May. And then down here, cotton is off today. March is 85 cents a pound, May is 86 cents a pound. And Sugar Baby over at Delhi. No Sugar
Silk.
Baby. Both of you got the look. Yeah, we know Sugar Baby. He's losing money today. He's almost down to below 20 cents, and he was up to 22 yesterday. Did you guys know that he's going to start growing pineapples under one of his pivots next year, this coming year?
I did not.
So anyway.
I'm curious now.
Yeah, when you guys see him, ask him about it.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, he's going to start growing pineapples. And next thing you know, they will see palm trees out there around the Silk Ranch. You never know what's going to happen around Delhi. Anyway, so live cattle, February, 159.65. April is 163.67. June is 159.92. August is 159.37. Feeder cattle for March, 186.17. April is 189.95. Hogs, lean. February, 75, April, 85.92, and May is 95 even. When we come back, we need to talk about how some young farmers need to make a game plan to get started. Jill, she's done her homework on that.
A little bit.
Good thing you had Wi-Fi down.
Yeah, no researching on my computer for me.
But before we get to that, we're going to get up-to-date report from Jancy on what happened in Colorado and what's been happening the last couple weekends. Because I guess it's all the jackpots are done now.
Yeah, jackpot season's pretty much over. At least for me.
Right. And then it seems like the Beckham County's early this year. It's in February.
Yeah, it's usually that first week of March, or right. That's what I think. But it's in February now, which is weird.
Yeah, it's because I seen that, I think, who was it? Monty Tucker posted it yesterday, and I was like, February, it is February. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's here. So anyway, we get back. When we come back, we'll be we got all kinds of things to talk about. I got two high school seniors in here. There should be plenty to talk about. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Report for Monday, January 30th. I'm Drew Cobb. 246 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 368 brought 213. 45 at 603 brought 200. 45 at 699 brought 185. 3 head of heifers at 555 brought 158. 7 at 576 brought 172. 7 at 581 brought 177. Butcher cows were 38-100. Butcher bulls brought 89-106. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. That's exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. And since I got a little extra time here, why not a Jimmy Clark joke or three? You know, I hear Jimmy Clark doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants. You know, time waits for no man unless that man is Jimmy Clark. You know, if you spell Jimmy Clark in Scrabble, you win forever.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is happening February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 152-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota 2528, and Baldridge Alternatives E125. Several other sires represented, also selling commercial females carrying GC genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale happening Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Dagnabbit.
Where's a plumber when you need one?
In Elk City, that's where Klein Mechanical's ready to tackle those messy jobs we all try to avoid. They're also trying to hire an experienced journeyman plumber or apprentice plumber with experience in residential, commercial, and utility work. The pay is competitive along with a generous benefits package. To apply, go by the Klein Mechanical office at 101 Stout Drive in Elk City or give them a call at 225-1242. That's 225-1242.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You guys know where McLean, Texas is?
No.
No.
Cool. You guys don't go west much, then, do you?
No.
It's right along I-40 on your way to Amarillo. That's who I picked today to give an ag update out in the Texas Panhandle, because we have lots of listeners out there. And McLean, Texas, currently it is 46 degrees, the wind chill's 39, the humidity's 33%, the winds are out of the north at 15, gusting up to 20. Peak wind gust today, so far, 23 miles an hour. And sub-freezing minutes today, 590 so far. I'm sure we're done till tonight on that one. And your 8-inch soil temperature, well, I think it was at 36. It just went blank on me. So anyway, there is your update from out in the Texas Panhandle. Okay. Man, I just don't know where to start with both of you guys in here. This is complicated. Anyway, Jancy, let's talk.
Let's talk.
You've been really busy since you got back from Denver.
I have.
So I've left you alone, not bugged you.
Thank you.
And you showed up voluntarily today.
I did. I told Mom I was coming to see you for your birthday today.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. Now you're making me blush.
Oh, you're welcome.
You made me cry one time at the Merritt Gym. That was really cool on Veterans Day. And so, all right. How things go in Denver? Give us some stories.
Okay. Well, for Denver, Dad left that Thursday for layover with my two pigs, and me and Mom stayed to show here in Elk City at one of the Show Pig Series shows, and then we ended up packing up and leaving that Sunday morning for Denver. Showed up at layover at about 6. We left at about 7:30 that morning. We moved in Monday night, I believe. Didn't show till Wednesday. I competed in showmanship on Tuesday, placed in the top 5 in the senior division. And actually, all 3 showmanship winners for the swine division came from Oklahoma, so that was really neat.
Do we know any of the other two?
I knew all 3 of them. One was one of my really good friends. Her name's Anna Frankie. She's from Covington Douglas. She won the senior division, so that was really cool that we were both in the top 5 for senior division.
Yeah.
Considering there's kids from God knows how many states competing in that. So to place in the top 5 was really, really cool. Dad even teared up a little bit when I came out of the ring.
I'm not your dad. Well, you are his senior girl.
He was a little emotional. He's going to be mad that I told everybody that. But
and he's going to be really mad now.
Oh, yeah. It's fine, though. It's okay.
What's he going to do, kick you out of the house?
Exactly. I don't know. It's okay. He can get emotional sometimes.
Yeah.
And then, so that was Tuesday. Wednesday was show day. We ended up scratching my heavyweight. We don't know if he laid on it wrong, did the splits or what, messed up his hip really bad. He couldn't hardly move. So we scratched him. I showed a Division II, placed 4th, 5th, I believe, and the reserve grand bearer ended up coming out of my class. I was in the toughest class of the day by far. So
you did good.
Yeah, we were.
Do you know how many hogs were up there all together?
There was roughly 350 there.
Yeah.
They've cut it down from previous years just due to pinning space. The barn is not very big in Denver. I don't know if you've ever seen what the inside of it looks like. It's not very big. Most of the pins were split in half, so there's 2 per pin, and there still really was not enough space for everybody and their stuff and their animals. But we ended up showing, stayed for the grand drive, and then we drove home Thursday morning so that I could cheer Friday and Saturday in the Bi-County Tournament.
Uh-huh. So you had a full week.
Yeah. Very, very tiring. It really helped because they kick you out of the barns at 9 o'clock at night, and they don't open the doors back up until 6. So that was really good for us getting to go to bed at a decent hour at night and not having to be, not staying in the barn till midnight fitting like we usually do. So that was really nice.
What else was going on up there at the Western at the same time as hogs? I know you roamed around to go see what else was going on. Surely, didn't you? No?
The furthest I made it was to the shopping, so.
That's what I'm asking. So you did go shopping.
Oh, yeah.
That's what made your dad tear up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you probably got the credit card, didn't you?
Oh, me and Mom took off.
Yeah, so anyway, so you guys got back, and let's see, you did Altus before or after you went?
Before. Yeah. When we came home from Denver, there wasn't a Showpig series show that weekend, just for the kids that did end up going to Denver.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
And then one of the, my brain just went dead, one of the kids from Altus did really good.
Yes, Gage Winters had a reserve champion Division One crossbred, and the champion Division One was ended up being grand champion Barra for Denver. So,
well, we watched you and the Varnell girl, the famous Lexi. We watched you guys on TV.
Over, oh yeah,
yeah. Shannon had it up live, and so we watched you guys, and we were cheering you on. And the show ring kind of irked me a little bit. That pillar was right out in the middle.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I looked up in showmanship, and I was headed right for this pole. I kind of forgot it was there. I had to, we made the sharpest turn ever to try to avoid that thing during showmanship.
That was kind of...
It'll throw you off, especially if you're not really looking up, and you look up, and it's just there.
Yeah, and it's kind of... I think it... You could tell it was annoying the judge also.
A little bit, yeah. I noticed that throughout the day that he was a little annoyed that it was there.
Yeah, he was a little annoyed. Well, congratulations on that. And
thank
then
you.
You guys finished up the Showpig series this weekend at Weatherford.
Yes.
And then I guess, how'd you end up doing overall? I seen your name highlighted, so you didn't do too bad. I know you probably didn't finish where you want to, but you were in the top in your...
Yeah, I ended up being second high in Hant Barra points, which is really where we should have sat. I was happy with how we did, so, yeah, we had a pretty good show series.
Now the real stuff starts.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got district coming up, county mm-hmm. coming up, and OIE.
Yep.
And OIE is going to be kind of fun. I'm going to actually see my boss is probably listening. He's on his way somewhere to do something silly. And I'm going to see if he'll let me do live up there at OIE when some of the locals from out in western Oklahoma are showing. All right, so here we go. We got into that. So, all right, I want to ask you two girls something just to warn you. I got to ask you something. I'm going to also inform you some stuff. So I only like two spots of 2 weeks having all the FFA spots filled for FFA week. We're doing 2 weeks. So we got only spot. I got your ag teacher has to call me back because I saved a spot for merit. But anyway, we got a lot going on, so you guys are going to have to be on your game because I'm going to let you guys do most of the interviews to a day. It's going to be fun. So when you guys, you're both graduating this week or this year.
I wish it was this week.
I wish it would be great.
My bad.
This week would be really nice.
You guys are your senior year. You're involved in agriculture, and you're involved in your school also, athletics and cheerleading and all the other stuff. What all's race? You're in your last couple months. What's going on with you? What's going on in your head? What are you thinking?
God, I'm ready to be done.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just we're on the downhill slide, and I just wish we would go a little bit faster.
Yeah.
It's like the final countdown, but it's not counting down fast enough.
You need to enjoy it because the real world's going to wake up about June 1st. And
yeah.
I know you're both going off to college and stuff, but you know it's a whole different ball game than just coming over here and going to your regular high school every day.
Yeah.
What have you learned since you've actually matured in the last 2 or 3 years a little bit? What have you learned being part of the agriculture world? I mean, you both grew up in it, but I'm sure now since you've become a little older, like 14, 15 years old, that you're watching things. You're not just doing what you're told. And I know you go the wrong way when you're bringing the fuel trailer and stuff around. But anyway.
We still got there, okay?
Yeah, I know. So talk about it. Start with you, Jill.
Okay, well, a few things that I've learned is that the ag industry has probably some of the toughest people out there. I mean, we go through so many challenges day in and day out, all year long. Like, there's no days off in ag.
Right.
No days off, period. Nope. And so, I mean, And a lot of people, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, they don't know where their food comes from.
There's a lot of people that really don't.
Right. I mean, they don't understand that there's a farmer out there who is preparing their crops and feeding their livestock every single day and making sure that their crops and livestock are, like, the best quality and that they're constantly growing and improving. And so I think that because of that, the ag industry has some of the toughest people out there. And I don't think I realized that until I was probably a sophomore in high school, and it kind of hit me one day, like, man, we go through a lot, and people don't get it. Like, they just don't understand. And so that's one of the most important things.
No, because you see statements from people that, like, why do they have to feed them cows every day and slaughter those pigs and slaughter those calves? You can go to the grocery store and get the same stuff.
No. No.
But there's people like that out there. And like, we have the Ag in the Classroom program in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And they bring teachers out from Tulsa and the bigger schools, Oklahoma City and everywhere else. They bring them out and show them the sod farms, cotton fields, cotton strippers, take them out to, like, Tucker Family Farms and show them meat processing or where meat is made and stuff like that. And I think it's great. So I think it.
Yes.
Every state would do that.
Yes. And I think FFA has such a vital part in students. I mean, I talked about it last week, and I referred to that again. But my best friend, she came from a city, and when we were enrolling for high school, I was like, hey, you should do FFA with me. And she's like, but I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm like, you don't have to grow up on a farm. You can learn about agriculture and not come from agriculture. And so she loves it.
Well, I'll guess, how many kids in FFA at Elk City do you think are
don't come from a farm or agriculture?
Yeah.
60-70%.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that.
And they're eating it up probably
too,
aren't they?
I mean, we have around 170 kids. We have one of the biggest chapters in Oklahoma, and for a smaller school, I mean, we're only 4A.
Right.
But, I mean, we have enough students, like, we compare up to Edmond.
Right.
That's in number-wise. And so I would say around, like, 75-70%.
Was Larry retired when you started?
Yes. So he had retired two years before I got into high school. Yep. I see him around sometimes. But
well, it's my birthday today. You know how old I feel? When I started FFA, I was in his first class.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how old I feel. Anyway, so Jancy, let's get to you, and then we'll take a short break and come back. You grew up basically on peanut farm.
I did.
Yeah, and cattle. You guys had cattle. Your grandpa's got cattle and stuff. Your Uncle Joey does. Your dad does, and I could probably rattle off a lot more.
The list is never ending.
Yeah, it's less. When did it hit you?
Well, used to be when I would, like, wake up in the mornings and look at what Dad was doing, I was thinking, oh, he's just working a regular job. Like, he's just the same old dad everybody else has. But when I was about probably a freshman or a sophomore, I really started to realize how important my dad was and what he was doing. And it's like Jill said, most people don't realize where their food's coming from. Like, oh, we just go to the grocery store to get our stuff. No, you don't. You don't realize what people are doing behind the scenes to provide all this food for you. Like, it's really a struggle. So then I really started to appreciate what my dad does and what my grandpa does and what the whole Riputo family does, really.
Right.
And then I started to realize that really when we started raising pigs, I really realized, like, we put in a lot of work into the ag industry, and a lot of people don't realize that. So one thing that I've learned is hard work can really get you anywhere. Like, even in school, like, sometimes we'll be had a task thrown at us, and some kids are like, oh, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, I just jump on it. I'm like,
do it.
I'm like, you can't. You just have to do it. Like, especially coming from probably a background like me and Jill do. I mean, stuff like that is just like, when you've been raised like that, you just want to jump on it. Like, things like that do not bother you.
Right.
So really, that's one thing I've learned is we're more important than most people see. We are.
Yeah, and I like the way your dad approached you on the hog operation out there. You're part of it. You're just not Jancy, his daughter, out there.
No.
You have responsibilities.
I'm like Jancy the caretaker, basically.
Yes.
I mean, that is really my responsibility. He's not there every day, all day. So really, that's my job, is really running our swine operation at the house. I mean, we have Jared, but when they're at the house, it's my job, especially when we've got 60, 70 babies on the ground plus sows and show stock. I mean, that's my responsibility, not my dad's.
Yeah, because your dad has a couple companies.
And then he's got
his farming operation.
Yes, he does.
And
he's a busy
we're all spread out. Your dad's spread out from Hex to Elk, and so he's spread out pretty good, so he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, so he does.
All right, thanks, ladies. We'll get back to the real Today in Ag show when we come back after this break.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is celebrating 35 years in business thanks to you, their loyal customers. Bobby and Trish invite you to help them celebrate all year long. Stop by every chance you get. They look forward to seeing you. DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City, where they rent most everything and sell new mowers too. See all they have to offer at DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com. And be sure to check out their ad in each week's Penny News.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing, 303-4246.
Good afternoon once again, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 27th. 724 head were sold, 3 head of steers at 400 brought 237.50, 12 at 420 brought 235, 6 at 434 brought 230, 4 at 485 brought 208, 26 at 510 brought 210, 22 at 519 brought 198, 5 at 614 brought 191, 7 head of heifers at 346 brought 207, 9 at 419 brought 203, 11 at 493 brought 187. 50, 8 at 533 brought 184, 7 at 545 brought 174, 5 at 585 brought 171, 6 at 680 brought 161. Butcher cows were 52 to 97.50, butcher bulls brought 75 to 114, bred cows were 735 to 1635, pairs brought 1310 to 1425. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The Triple J Show is back live.
Yes.
Jill,
Jimmy.
Janty.
Jimmy.
And Jimmy. I'll go last.
You forgot you.
No, I was wanting to go last.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, Miss Jill, give us somebody's forecast up there in northwestern Oklahoma, please.
I got Freedom, Oklahoma.
Cool.
And I have never been there before. It is currently 43 degrees with a 37-degree wind chill. Today, the high is 50. Tomorrow's the high is 52. Saturday and Sunday are looking to be in the 60s. Finally, some warm weather. So nice.
Hey, we've been lucky this winter. Did I tell you guys I didn't see my shadow this morning? So we only got about 2 or 3 weeks of winter.
Okay, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I forgot about it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
We used to celebrate that all the time when I was in elementary school, and I kind of forgot about it. Oh, yeah. But in Freedom, Oklahoma, the wind's not blowing too bad. It's not supposed to blow too bad the rest of the week. Saturday, it could get up to about 20 miles an hour, which means those tumbleweeds are going to roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of those tumbleweeds, they're thick this year.
They're bad.
I got a deal in our last segment that I'm going to talk about that the FSA wants to let you know that they're not responsible for your tumbleweeds.
Well.
If you got that email that I got, they're not claiming fame to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
I think we've burned several hundreds of them at least 3 times in the last 4 weeks probably.
We had a drought this summer,
yeah.
And then we got them rains in August, and it was just the right time for them tumbleweeds just to blow up. Because going to your house, or on the way to mine, on 152 there, well, out there by you guys' ground also, 152 is, you just got to, whichever way the wind's blowing, it's the way you need to be looking for them things coming across the highway. Anyway, Miss Jancy, there's a really cool meeting going on. Next Tuesday.
There sure is.
Tell us about it.
Okay, next Tuesday, February 7th, from 10 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon, is the 4-County Alfalfa Meeting in the Western Technology Center here in Elk City. Meals provided by Farm Credit of Elk City. They ask, please RSVP a spot by calling Beckham County OSU Extension Office at 580-928-2139 or email Mr. Greg Hartman at all lowercase greg.hartman@okstate.edu. The program includes speakers on agronomics, fertilization, insects and disease, weeds, livestock, economics and marketing, and grower industry concerns and updates.
Wow, she nailed that. Even fell off the table.
I nailed it a little too hard. I sent some papers flying.
All right. You were talking about your little brother a while ago.
Earlier
before the show.
I was.
And I was impressed with your answer. So earlier before the show started, I asked her, I said, what's your little brother do? And she said, work. That's all he does is work. I mean, that's like asking Jancy about Carter. Mm-hmm. All I know is she's going to say hunting, fishing, lifts weights, and loves shooting. That's what she has said. Or giving my dad crap. Or being into my mom's hair. Or running around with Paul Tope. So I don't have to ask her because I already know. But I was impressed with your answer about your little brother. He's a hard worker.
He is a hard worker. He is kind of managing his own little cattle herd right now. And he stays on it. I mean, he checks them. Right now, I think it's every other day. And they're getting ready to do calving season. So he's prepared and he knows what to feed them, how much to feed them. And my dad's kind of his mentor, kind of helps him out, kind of guides him along the way.
And I bet your dad's not picky at all, is he?
Just a little bit. No, he likes things a certain way.
Well, most guys do, but I can see your dad just going a little bit above normal.
Yes.
But in a good way. And so, anyway, but you said there was a lady here a couple of years ago down there west of Merritt, or where's she at? Let me think here. I'm going to get
it. It's a little bit of, let's see, southeast Merritt.
Southeast of Merritt. Yeah, back toward, but anyway, her husband had passed, and she needed some help, and your little brother stepped right in there, didn't he?
Yep, and he can't drive yet, but it's only two.
Can't drive or legally?
I mean, he can drive. I mean, you know how it all is. We learn how to drive the feed truck when we're like 13 pasture. It's just like, don't hit a hay bale or a fence, you're good. That's what it's like.
Well, anyway, speaking to young people, before we take another break,
I got a little article for us about young farmers.
Yeah.
Because I relate to this. I mean, this is me. This is what I want to do. And
all
so,
right. Tell us about it.
A little bit about young farmers is that it's kind of difficult for them to access capital for land, equipment, and other inputs that is the key to any business in agriculture. And so they need to have a plan, basically, when right. they're first starting out. And so not having a plan is one of the biggest pitfalls Kit Tover Jensen sees when it comes to beginning farmers. Jensen is the manager of the Iowa State University Beginning Farmer Center. I think that's pretty cool that they have a Beginning Farmer Center.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think they got one out here at Texas A&M at the new one in Amarillo.
The new,
not West Texas, but
the new campus?
Yeah,
the campus. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So when you're applying for a loan, lenders are going to want to see a business plan. You need to map out where you're going. The business plan could be formally written, or it could be as simple as being able to articulate what your goals are, says retired banker Leslie Miller. If you can sit down and verbally describe to a lender what you want to do, a lot of time that is sufficient. It's important to have your finances in order. Be prepared with a balance sheet, explanation of cash flow, the number of acres you already have and yield data, and any other information. The way the farmer and the lender can spend more time analyzing the plan rather than just putting it together. And I agree with that. I mean, you got to have a plan. My dad, I believe we bought our farm when I was 3 years old. I'm pretty sure we moved out to the country. And he tells me all the time, which obviously I don't remember anything, but
from three?
Yeah,
not.
No, probably not. But I mean, he tells me that the first couple years, they were rough. Like it was just kind of trial and error. Just figuring out what works, what doesn't.
Right.
And so he told me, I mean, and that's why a lot of young farmers, they try it and then they're like, we can't do this.
Right.
We're just not strong enough. We can't figure it out. Yep. And so they quit. Well, you got to have a little bit of patience because
yes.
everything's going to work out.
You do.
So part of that is figuring out what your story is, building your story. And whenever I think of a story, the first thing that comes to my mind is the Taylor Ranch. I love their story.
Yeah.
I love how they've raised their cattle in the last several decades.
Right.
It just inspires me so much to take up farming.
Yeah, and they have a big operation out there with minimal help.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, they have one hand.
Jimmy, and Jesus. Have you met Jesus?
I have met Jesus about, I think, two times I've met him. Yep. He's a pretty cool guy.
Well, your dad was out there when Sandy and I showed up there when the Berlin fire was headed towards the Taylor Ranch.
Yes.
And your dad was very calm and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Tracy was a little excited. And for good reason.
Yeah.
but when Jimmy got there from Stillwater, he was up there at OSU and at the bull sale or something.
Yep.
He got there. He had, everybody's heard this, but I want to tell you girls. He had Jesus come over there and tell me what he told Jimmy when he called him. Too much smoke, Jimmy, too much smoke. So, anyway, that's my favorite line.
I love that.
But Jesus is awesome.
He's always full of energy. Every time I met him, he's so just enthusiastic.
So him and I'm going to assist him in a garden out there on the Taylor Ranch.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't have any gardening skills, so my grandparents do.
Well, this is true red dirt out there.
Not sand.
So
anyway,
it's going to be a learning experience for me too.
Yep. So just building your story as a young farmer is really important. And having a mentor is really important. I think having a mentor in anything that you want to do is really important. I can probably name off at least 3 or 4 mentors off the top of my head that have helped me get to where I want to be right now.
Ag teacher's one of them?
Probably, yes. I have many older gentlemen, older ladies that have helped me and just inspired me to learn more about agriculture, especially in the last year.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think it's very important to have a mentor, especially if you're a young farmer. And that way you can network to help build your story and add to your, like, knowledge base of the farming industry, basically.
And they've went through the trial and errors a lot, and they can probably tell you, say, I wouldn't try that right now.
Yeah, for sure. So back to the lenders part. There are not a lot of lenders that have experience with cow-calf operations or lenders working with people that have contract hog buildings. And so finding the right lender is going to help you tremendously. That way they know what you're talking about and you can be all on the same page.
Right.
Yeah. So also knowing your resources can be very important. So a variety of resources are available to young and beginning farmers to help them get where they are trying to go. And this line just, it gets me. We need the next generation of farmers producing the food and fuel we need in this country. And that's the most important way we are going to stop the exodus from rural America.
Right.
That is so important. I mean, I want to be a young farmer. And there's like I said earlier, there's a call for young farmers because the average age of the farmer is rising tremendously. And so the younger generation needs to take.
Talking about me?
Not talking about you particularly. I'm just speaking statistics here.
But I turned 61 today, and then all of a sudden you said, our farmers are getting older.
Much older than that. No offense. Just statistics that the younger generation needs to...
Step up.
Yes, they need to step up and accept that we have to have people in agriculture. Like, that's how the world works. We put food on people's plates every single day.
That's like Jancy. This summer, before she goes to college, she needs to tell her dad, say, hey, you mom need to go on a cruise. I'm going to plant the peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
You in?
I will. I'll do it.
There we go. Because you know your grandpa will be right there to get you out of
and
a bind.
If Parker can do it, surely I can do
it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So kind of the last step for young farmers, or just a tip, is to kind of get creative with your limited resources and try things such as specialty farming to get started. Kind of see what you're good at, what you enjoy. Yep. So, I mean, for my dad, he loves cattle.
Right.
Like, I've literally never met somebody who loves cattle more in his life. He would rather spend hours out there with his cattle than anywhere in the entire world.
Same way.
They're like his best friends.
Yeah, my wife wanted me to take me out to eat tonight, and no, I gotta go take care of my cows. So, anyway, let's do the. You can take me over to White Dog this weekend.
Okay, okay.
So anyway, let's take a break because we are way over time on this one. So we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettsweldingcom. Again, that's everettsweldingcom. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35-micron filter. We run 10-micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10-micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
Filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, this hour just went boom quickly. Jancy, could you help me out with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast? Who you got over there?
I picked a little small town of Eric. Currently it's 47 degrees. High of today is 50 degrees. High for tomorrow is also 50. Saturday is looking a little warmer. Finally, 62. Sunday's a high of 64. And Monday they have a high of 68. So I'm just thankful we have warmer weather coming in. So.
Me too.
Eric's not very far from my homestead, so maybe the warmer weather will make its way towards my house.
I'm sure they will. Well, once a day, and some days twice a day, we got the Jimmy's bull and female calendar going on in the Penny News. And matter of fact, there's a link to the calendar if you get on the front page on thepennynews.com on desktop, on your desktop, so you can find it real easy. But on your phone, you got to go all the way to the bottom of thepennynews.com. You can find the link. Well, this bull calendar is blowing up, and it's good. So today I'm going to talk about Harrison Cattle Company over there at Arapahoe. Their 2023 production sale is coming up Tuesday, March 21st, 2023. The bull and female sale is at 12 noon at the ranch, and they're on 22551 East 990 Road in Arapahoe. If you got any questions, you can call Leslie or Jan Harrison at 580-331-8103, or you can go to www.harrisoncattlecompany.com. Real easy. Anyway, thanks for being being on this calendar. Appreciate it. We got a man, he even said it when you came in earlier. He said the mailbox, the bull sales are here.
Bull sales are everywhere.
So anyway, so the bull sales are coming up. We got one coming up Saturday, Cheyenne, the Aubrey, Western Oklahoma Aubrey sale. So after I go to attend a funeral, I think I'll head up there and check out what's going on, because I have one that I sold as a baby that was going to be in there from another breeder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll see. He'd probably be the low seller, probably. So, anyway, no, just kidding. All right, Jancy.
Yes, sir.
We got enough time to talk about hay stocks and drought. What you got going? You've seen it with your own eyes what happened this summer.
Yes, I did.
So, you know, some of us are blessed and we got some irrigation and we got some stuff done, but so, you know, even if you did have irrigation, it was tough growing a crop.
Yes, it was. It was really tough.
What you got going?
So I've got, Jimmy went not so crazy with his highlighter today, but still a little bit. So we'll get through this as fast as we can. Hay supplies remain short and prices continue to rise as Texas cattle ranchers try to feed herds through winter, according to the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. The 2022 drought and subsequent poor hay production resulted in stressed hay supplies going into the winter. Those short hay supplies and demand have now pushed hay bale prices toward record high prices. The U.S. Department of Agriculture priced large round bales of good to premium Bermuda grass between $70 and $175 each, with prices for the same quality hay reaching $410 per ton in the panhandle.
How about that?
That is insane. Most counties across the state are reporting decent quality bales above $100. Deeper than usual culling and preparation of that winter feeding shrunk Texas cattle numbers and the national herd to lows not seen since 2012. That is insane.
Wow.
Cattle producers expect good calf prices in the future, but feeding cows until spring forages are ready to graze is the concern right now. Anderson said drought and high fertilizer prices were the two major factors that led to near record low hay production. Grass needs soil moisture to grow during the summer hay season, which we didn't get a whole bunch of moisture this summer, so I can see where that affects that. But pastures also need fertilizer, especially nitrogen, to maximize growth and yields. I'm going to skip over some of this. However, global events and the drought of 2022 have pushed grain prices much higher during this current drought cycle. Most producers culled their herd deeper than usual to reduce the number of months they must feed through the winter.
That was perfect timing.
Thank you.
After you skipped some of it.
I did.
Ladies, thank you so much. Jill Metters, Nancy Ripto, this is Jimmy Clark, Today in Ag. God bless. We'll see you guys tomorrow.